Your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Brother Kent Piri, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to teach us again this week.
Thank you very much. And without spending much time, I'd like us to quickly open with a word of prayer as we go into our study today.
Right.
Shall we pray?
Yes, sir.
Our gracious and loving Father who art in heaven, we thank you once again for allowing us to study your word this day. And we ask you may open our hearts and our minds to the understanding of your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So today's lesson has a title, "The Two Witnesses Have Resurrected." And quickly, in order for us to understand the resurrection of the two witnesses, I would like us to understand how the two witnesses die. Yesterday, we did not really cover them. I intended that we cover it today so that we understand certain aspects or concepts from it. I'm getting an echo feedback. Am I audible?
You're audible, Mdala. I don't know if... are you on speaker? Did you put your handset next to your ear?
Oh, okay. I think it has gone now. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So I'm going to begin by reading a quotation from the Great Controversy. Reading is verse page 267. And it records, "The two witnesses represent the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Now, both are important testimonies to the origin and the perpetuity of the law of God. Both are witnesses also to the plan of salvation." So clearly, we can see that even from the testimony of Christ, we are told that the two witnesses represent the Old and the New Testament. So, now, notice something, that the book of Revelation is full of a number of symbolic language. So when we read Revelation chapter 11, the scriptures we read yesterday, which was 7 through 9, we are told that the two witnesses are killed after their testimonies are given. And this period in which the two witnesses are killed and their bodies are laid down in the cities for 3.5 days, which in short would represent 3.5 years, applying the day literal principle. And this period began in 1793 and ended in 1797. Now, what is so ironic about this? Because remember, we have interpreted that the two witnesses represent the Old and the New Testament. Now, how are these two witnesses, being the Old Testament and their bodies lying dead, how are they killed? Because we have also read from Isaiah 40 verse 8 that the word of God shall stand forever. So how did this happen? So now you would recall or try to understand that actually Christ himself identifies himself with the disciples. So let me just read something else so that as we expound on it, we better understand. I'm reading again from the book Great Controversy, page 271, this time around. So we are told that... just a moment. Okay.
Are you okay, sir?
Okay, something... just a minute again.
Okay.
Let me try this again. Okay, I'm good. So okay. I'm reading the book Great Controversy 271. So where also our Lord was crucified, this specification of the prophecy was also fulfilled by France. In no land had the spirit of enmity against Christ been more strictly displayed. In no country had the truth encountered more bitter and cruel opposition. In the persecution which France had visited upon the confessors of the gospel, she had crucified Christ in the person of his disciples. So what happened during the French Revolution was so terrible, something that the world had never experienced or seen at that time. So people were shot down. The believers of Christ were shot down in cold blood. People were slain, in their secret places where they would gather from. The believers of Christ were killed. So everyone who bear the straight testimony of the Old and New Testament were killed for that period, the 3.5 days or 3.5 years period, the believers of Christ. So those who, to some extent, for me, when I understand the French Revolution, I think that was the darkest hours, because the Bibles themselves were burnt. Okay, the word of God was destroyed, but it was not destroyed as other men would think. What I mean by that is that the word of God was still kept in the hearts of the believers. So that was the symbolic interpretation of the death of the two witnesses. So those who confessed in Christ, those who were identified by the straight testimony, who believed in Christ, were killed. And the Bible itself was burnt, destroyed. But regardless of the efforts of the enemy, the word of God shall still stand. And that is why today we have a heading of the two witnesses resurrect. So I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 11, verse 11. So now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and the great fear fell upon those who saw them. So what we can see from this scripture is that after this period, the 3.5 years has ended, we would see or notice that the word of God again would come back to life with a certain power.
Are you still there, Mdala? Oh, our line. Brother Peter, are you there?
I am there. Is it breaking?
Yes, it was breaking. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. I was trying to make a point that from the previous yesterday's lesson, so we see that the satanic power attacks the word of God. And from Revelation chapter 11, verse 11, we see that the word of God, God adds back breath to the word that has been killed. So after 1798, we identify that there were a number of biblical institutions that came on board. No, as a means of trying to bring back the word of God that was once trampled upon. We saw new translation, the Bible being republished, the Bible being distributed around the world. We also saw a number of our reformers, such as William Carey, spreading the word of God from that time. And allow me to just read something, a comment from the study guide itself. So at the end of the French Revolution, God's word figuratively came to life again. Now there would be a mighty revival. Great fear would fall upon those who saw the word of God become... Great fear would fall on those who saw God's word once more become the living power of God and to salvation. So God raised men to actually bring back this revelation, to bring back this truth that was once bent, to bring back this truth that was once trampled upon. And it is still the same hope that we have today, that the word of God, regardless of the efforts of men, God's word is a living word. And although it may seem to be dead to some people, it is still alive today. It is still alive in the hearts of believers and would raise again to fulfill what the prophecies have told us in the Bible. So God's word may be attacked or suppressed, but it will never be eradicated. And that's a great hope that we have in the scriptures, because regardless of the efforts of the devil, he shall not succeed. And that is why yesterday I try to emphasize that it is time that we internalize the word of God in our hearts. Our Bibles may be taken away, but surely the word of God shall still live in our hearts. And I'm going to conclude with this statement. So we must never in any way allow ourselves to be subdued by the attacks, by these attacks on the word of God. It is still alive today, speaking to human hearts, breathing new life into those who are willing to listen to the word of God. So, brethren, I urge you that if you are earnestly seeking the word of God, wherever you are, you shall come in contact with the word of God, because God is not slack concerning his promise, not willing that any man should perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you very much. I think I'm going to end here for today.
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Before we close, you know, I'd love you to pray for us.
All right. Thank you very much. Our loving Father, once again, we have come to your throne. We ask that, Lord, you may help us once again today to internalize the word that we have heard.
And that prayer breaks just as he is offering his closing prayer. Oh, today has been so attacked by the evil one. All right, I suppose that's how we end our lesson. We are missing out on that prayer. Let me then pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful that you have given us all these insights through Brother Kent Piri, who has helped us understand the two witnesses resurrected. May you open our minds and understanding so that we live according to your will, not according to our word and our own understanding. May we never lead, but may you lead us with your spirit. We pray this, Yahweh, in your name, and this we pray in your name. Amen.